Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something that really matters in a proper drum and bass drop, a dubwise reese that swings inside the arrangement, not just a static bass loop, because that's the difference, right there. A reese can be technically solid and still feel flat if it just sits on the grid and repeats. What we want is movement. We want a bass line that leans, answers, breathes, and leaves space for the drums. That's the dubwise mindset. It's not machine gun pressure the whole time. It's controlled weight, delayed responses, and a groove that feels like it's talking back to the snare. So let's approach this the right way. Don't start by obsessing over tone. Start with the arrangement shape. Open Ableton Live 12 and sketch an 8-bar MIDI clip first. Keep it sparse. Put a few notes in, not a lot. Try a hit on the end of 1, a late answer around 2, something offbeat near 3, a held note into 4, maybe to pick up into bar 2 or bar 4. Think in questions and answers. Think about where the bass is speaking and where it should shut up. Why this works in D&B is simple. The drums already provide a lot of forward motion. The bass doesn't need to crowd every gap. In fact, the best reese lines often feel heavier because they leave space. The snare lands clearer, the groove opens up, and the bass feels more intentional. What to listen for here is the relationship with the snare. If your rough bass idea already makes the snare feel bigger instead of masking it, you're on the right track. If it feels busy before you even touch sound design, delete notes. Seriously, less is often more in this style. Now build the core reese using stock Ableton devices. Waveatable is a great starting point if you want movement and animation. Analog works too if you want a simpler, thicker core. A solid chain is waveatable into saturator, then auto filter, then maybe chorus ensemble or utility, depending on how much width you want, and finish with EQ8 for the oscillator setup. Use two saw-like sources or a saw paired with a slightly different shape. Keep the detune moderate. You want thickness, not smear. If the unison gets too wide too fast, the bass loses its center and starts sounding impressive in solo but useless in a mix. A useful starting point is a filter cutoff somewhere around 150 Hz up to maybe 800 Hz, depending on how open or hollow you want it. Add a bit of drive with saturator, maybe 2 to 6 dB to start. Keep the chorus subtle if you use it at all. And if you're working with a separate sub, high-pass the reese body around 90 to 140 Hz so it doesn't fight the low end. That split is huge. Treat the bass like two jobs. The sub is pure, centered, and stable. The reese body is movement, grit, and attitude. Keep the sub mono with utility. Keep the body clean enough in the low end that it doesn't blur the kick and snare. If the reese is carrying too much low mid weight, the drop will sound wide on headphones and messy on speakers. Here's a great check. Mute the sub for a second. The reese should still feel strong in the mids, but not fake low. Then mute the reese and listen to the sub alone. It should stay solid and readable. That's the foundation. Now let's talk about swing. And this is important. Dubwise swing is not just about nudging notes off the grid. It's also about note length. Shape some notes short, some held, some clipped right before the snare, some lingering into the gap. That creates the sense that the bass is leaning back, while the drums stay forward. You can also nudge a few notes just 5 to 20 milliseconds late. Not everything, just selected hits. Keep keyed accents closer to the grid if the groove starts feeling lazy. The best swing is selective. It's not random drift. What to listen for is whether the bass feels like it's dragging the pocket in a good way, or whether it's just making the groove feel sloppy. There's a big difference. In a roller or deeper D&B tune, tight swing with small gaps is often enough. If you push it too far into dubby drag, it can get heavy and murky fast, so stay in control. Next, add motion with a filter. Auto filter or the waveatable filter both work well. Open the filter a little on the first hit of a bar, then close it slightly on the answer. Across 4 or 8 bars, let the phrase evolve. Maybe bar 1 is darker and more closed, bar 2 opens a little, bar 3 gets a touch more edge. Bar 4 pulls back before the loop restarts. That gives the bass an arrangement role, not just a timbral role. It feels like it belongs to the section, not just a loop, but a phrase. Keep resonance modest. If the motion starts sounding like a wah pedal, you've gone too far. The goal is bloom, not obvious sweep. Now for the dub character. A lot of people think dub means drenched in delay, but it's more subtle than that. The space around the note matters as much as the effect itself. Use echo or delay carefully, and ideally only on the mid layer or on ascend. Sync it to an eighth note or dotted eighth. Keep feedback low to moderate, and high pass the return so the low end doesn't get muddy. This is especially powerful on the tail of a phrase or the last note before a turnaround. A small delayed response can make the bass feel conversational, like the line says something, and then the room answers back. If you find a delay move that feels right, commit it to auto. Don't be afraid to print it. In DNB, arrangement often moves faster once you stop treating every effect as endlessly tweakable. A printed bass fill can be way more useful than a perfect, but indecisive patch. After that, shape the tone with saturation and EQ. Saturator adds density. EQ 8 helps carve space. If the bass feels hollow, you can gently support the 180 to 500 Hz area. If it starts fizzing or getting harsh, tame some of the 1.5 to 4K Hz range. If it gets boxy, cut a little around 250 to 400 Hz. But remember, don't try to fix a weak low end with a reslayer. That's the sub's job. And this is a good point to say it clearly. Arrangement is part of sound design here. Once the tone and swing feel good, resample or consolidate the phrase. Print it to audio. Then you can trim note starts, reverse a tail, or chop a hit for extra punctuation. That's where this kind of bass starts becoming a real drop element instead of just a preset loop. Now check the bass against the drums. Kick, snare, hats, any break top you're using. The snare relationship is the most important one. In drum and bass, the bass line often feels strongest when it answers the snare instead of landing directly on top of it. If the snare loses punch, shorten the bass note or shift it slightly later. If the groove feels stiff, remove a note instead of adding one. What to listen for here is whether the bass and snare feel like they're in conversation. If the answer is yes, the groove gets bigger. If the answer is no, no amount of extra sound design will save it. From there, build a second phrase that changes the arrangement without changing the identity. That's the key. Keep the core rhythm, but alter one or two details. Maybe the last note of bar 4 changes. Maybe the filter opens slightly in bar 5. Maybe you add a reverse tail into bar 7. Maybe the final hit drops out before the loop restarts. A really solid structure is to let bars 1 to 4 establish the darker, drier statement, then bars 5 to 8 add a response, a bit more width, or a more obvious turnaround. Then the second 8 bars can either strip back again or add a small octave shift. You do not want a completely different bassline. You want the same identity evolving. That's why this works in DNB. The listener and the DJ need repetition so they can lock in, but they also need a little evolution so the drop doesn't flatten out. Small changes keep the energy alive without breaking the hook. And here's a really useful mindset shift. Treat the bassline like a conversation with the snare, not a loop you keep filling. If the groove stops feeling conversational after you add a note, that note is probably too much. A few extra pro moves make this style hit harder. First, use tension through absence. A half bar dropout or even one empty beat before the snare can create more pressure than adding another layer. Second, keep the dirt in the midrange, not the sub. The real menace lies somewhere between about 150 Hz and 2K Hz. Third, print a dry version and a dubbed version. One is your safe, mixable main pass. The other is for fills, switch-ups, and momentary drama. Also, check mono after any widening move. If the bass loses identity when collapsed, reduce the width. The center has to stay like one instrument. And if you want a heavier second drop, don't just make it louder. Make it more dangerous. A slightly more open filter, a rougher resampled tail, or a thinner first note can do more than another layer ever will. So here's the practical workflow. Build the rhythm first. Split the sub from the res body. Shape the swing with both timing and note length. Add subtle filter motion. Use delay only where it earns its place. Saturate carefully. Print useful moments to audio. Then arrange the phrase so it grows over 4 or 8 bars. If the result feels dark, weighty, and like it's leaning with the drums instead of stepping on them, you've got it. That's a real Dubwise res for DNB. Not just a sound, an arrangement tool. Now take the exercise seriously. Build one 8-bar phrase using only stock Ableton devices. Keep the sub separate. Use no more than 6 bass notes in the first 4 bars. Add one arrangement variation in bars 5 to 8. Make sure the snare still cuts through, and check it in mono. If it still feels strong when the drums are in, and the groove makes sense even when the kick is muted for a moment, you're very close. Keep it sparse. Keep it swinging. And once it feels like the bass is talking to the drums, stop tweaking and let it live in the track.